Hey, morning everyone. It's good to see more of you guys back again and really looking forward to what the year holds for us as Crossways Church. As Pam just gets things ready, I just want to say, Javi, thank you so much for what you shared. I think it's really so great for all of us to hear that. But I think also, as leadership, sometimes, or certainly I've had times that I'm thinking, how on earth did I land up in a position as elder of the church, let alone teaching and doing these other things? And sometimes it's easy to feel that you're just not good enough, you know, and why are you even here? But thanks for that encouragement. It just encourages me just to keep trusting God to lead and that God will lead us. So thank you for that word. Okay, so as we begin the new year, as leadership we've started thinking about, you know, where's God taking us, what's the vision for our church, what is it that we're building on? And before we started looking forward, we thought it was good just to look back and say, in the last 12 months, God really has been speaking to us in the church and he's been leading us, he's been starting to shape us into the church that he wants us to become. So really today I'm going to be talking about, I guess, church culture, you could call it, kind of what is the culture that God is building with this particular congregation. And I'm going to be focusing on four words that have really become, I would say, embedded in, I think, who we are and where God's taking us, for at least for this season, as a church. So I think if we look back last year, there's been a lot of water under the bridge, but I think we can say with certainty that God is good. And he's been with us, he's kept us together, and he's shaping us, and we're trusting him to shape us for the future as well. So let's start off with the first word. As I say, there are going to be four of them. And the first one for me is a theme that came up quite early in the year. And there's a word, each one. You remember the series, we had a series on each one quite early, I think it was around April last year. And interestingly, I was chatting with Rob earlier, and during the, I think it was the first year that this church got planted, something like 30 years ago, there was a men's prayer meeting. I don't know whether Pete Muggs might have been there at the time, but there was a picture of cane cutters in a field, and they were each allotted a task to do. And each cane cutter had to cut that section of the field. And the word that came with that was that each one had a portion of the work to do. And I think that's very much our feeling as a church. It remains that each one of us sitting here is part of this church. And God has something for us to contribute, something for us to do. This is not a church that is leadership doing things. It's actually we all. And we've seen that today, the richness of all the different testimonies and the sharing and the people helping outside of the kids. All of us, each one, are really critical to this church. And I think if we look at the church more broadly, we find that that's often not the way the church works. I was actually having a chat with my brother. I've got a twin brother who lives in New Zealand. I was having a chat with him last night. And he was just saying how he's been so disillusioned with the church in New Zealand. Where he's been. And he's left the conventional church. He's still following Jesus, but he's doing it in a very different way. And he had a pastor come and visit him last week, their little congregation, and he struck up a conversation with the pastor. And the pastor was saying, it is so difficult, because as soon as I start really pressing people, or asking them to commit, or pushing them too hard, or not meeting the expectations, the people leave. They just go to the next church. And it's around not where can I participate, how can I contribute, but where's someone going to pat me on the back and meet my needs? And that's just a sad state of the affairs. That's not the way church is meant to be. And I think last year we've started to be reminded of the richness of doing church together. I think many of you are so involved in the workings of this church, and it's just been so good to see that togetherness and everyone just doing a part, and that's what we want to keep doing. And I don't know if you guys remember Abby Pratt. Richie and Abby Pratt came and they shared here sometime last year. And there was a word that Abby Pratt brought to us, a prophetic word. And it was one of a treasure box being covered in soil. And the fact that God wanted to take away that soil. And inside that treasure box were treasures that he had. And he wanted to uncover those treasures. And I think those treasures are each of us here And God wants to find what is the treasure that you that He's given you. What is that gift that He's given you? And He wants to polish it. He wants to see it grow and for you to be using that in this church. So I think as we move forward this year, each of us has got a treasure. God's placed treasure in our hearts. Let's trust Him to uncover that, each of us, in the year ahead. Thanks, Pam. I've just interspersed a number of verses as we go through the teaching today, but really a lot of what I'm saying, you could find it interspersed throughout the Bible. But if we read Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, it's a useful verse to reference. And it says, we all have gifts. They differ in keeping with the grace that God has given each of us. Do you have the gift of prophecy? Then use it in keeping with the faith you have. Is your gift to serve? Then serve. Is it teaching? Then teach. Is it telling others how they should live? Then tell them. Is it giving to those who are in need? Then give freely. Is it being a leader? Then work hard at it. Is it showing mercy? Then do it cheerfully. I'm sure Paul could have gone on and on with this list. This is not an exhaustive list. But what it's saying is that there is that treasure. There are those gifts in each of us. Let's not wait for others in the church to use their gifts and sit back and say, well, I'm not ready to contribute. God wants each of us to contribute to what He has to do, His plans for this church. So the church is the body of Christ, and each one of us has a specific role to play. Do you see that? It's very clear. So God's given gifts and talents to each of us. And let's trust God to unearth what that is. And can I ask you individually to ask that question, God, what is it that you want me to do for you this year? In my family, in my community, in my church. And the fact is there is something. He doesn't want you to do nothing. There's a role that He has for us. And many of you are already doing things. You're serving Him. And what He would then say is, do it wholeheartedly for Him. Okay. The second word that I'd like to share, and I really think it's one that Jesus wants from all of us, is the word wholehearted. And wholehearted, if you read the Bible, is exactly what Jesus was. It's what He encouraged His disciples to be. And it's what, as we read Scripture, that's the calling. It's one of being wholehearted followers of Christ. So that's what we're called to become. And I think naturally none of us are that in anything that we do. I think we very easily just kind of drift along and kind of do what's the minimum that's required. But the calling is wholehearted. And I think the challenge is that the world will numb us into a pattern of living that is not this. It's very, very easy for all of us to get caught up in the world and what it offers. And we're not saying, and God's not saying, don't be part of the world. We're in the world. But we also need to be wholehearted in serving Him as well. We can't just be in the world and say, well, work's too busy, family's too busy, I'm not going to commit to Jesus. I'm going to commit in terms of saying, forgive me, I'm a sinner, thanks for saving me, but I'm carrying on with my life. That's not the call. That's not the call. So let's make sure that the faith that we live out, let's make sure that we're not measuring it by other Christians that we see around us in the community. The measure, the yardstick of our faith should be what the Bible says. Right? And if you guys aren't reading your Bible, read your Bible. If you want to understand what is it that Jesus calls us to, it's all spelled out. Jesus made it very clear. And Paul and other writers of the New Testament make it very clear the way that God expects and wants us to live. So looking back to Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a really useful verse. Again, there are lots of verses in the Bible that talk to this. It says, brothers and sisters, God has shown you His mercy, so He saved you. So I'm asking you to offer up your bodies to Him while you are still alive. Your bodies are a holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. When you offer your bodies to God, you are worshipping Him. So don't live any longer the way this world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you will be able to test what God wants for you And you will agree that what he wants is right. His plan is good and pleasing and perfect. So what God wants us to do, he wants us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. That's the calling. Living sacrifice is not a comfortable thing. It can't be. But that's the call, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God. Elsewhere, if you read what Paul has to say, he talks a lot about slaves. That we were slaves to sin, but now we're called to be slaves to God. And slavery is something that we essentially opt to do in becoming Christians. We opt to follow the Lord. And that picture is one of a wholehearted commitment to follow through on the commitment that we've made. So let's really press on together to find out what does wholehearted look like. Because I really believe we're called, each one, to be wholehearted in our faith. So will you ask the question this year, what does it mean for me to be wholehearted in my walk with the Lord? What does it look like in prison? God wants us to really wants that for us. So we're all called to be wholehearted believers who actively live out our faith. Okay, so faith, yes, it starts with just a belief in Jesus, but that's not where it ends. Faith is a walk. It's an action. Faith is lived out by action. I think what is very clear for me, I remember giving a sermon sometime last year, and John might remember it, was around transformation. And the fact that God wants to move us on in who we are. So the way I am today, the way Penny, the way you are today, John, each of us, he doesn't want us to stay that way in terms of our faith, in terms of our character. He wants to see our character change to be more like Jesus. The way we live out our activities at work, he wants that to more reflect Jesus. So can you see that actual wholeheartedness means change? It has to mean change. And sometimes those change happens in big leaps and bounds. But if we're seeing no change or if we're going backwards, we're not wholehearted in the way we're following Jesus. And I think it also means being committed, guys. Everyone hates this word committed, I think, because it's another thing. But really the call is to be committed to the Lord. And not just to the church and for doing church, it's committed to Jesus. And saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. Show me how. And let me walk with you. And I'm just reminded, both Vernon and Barry in the last 2 weeks, one thing that they did speak about was spiritual disciplines, personal disciplines, which really involves your quiet times. And I tell you what, I don't believe it's possible to grow in your faith without spending time with the Lord. You're not going to grow. There's just no way. And so you're not going to grow in your relationship with your wife unless you spend time with her. And it's the same with our relationship with the Lord. So there's just an encouragement there as well, guys. If we're going to be wholehearted, we've got to start spending time with the Lord. And, ideally, every day. I think we all do it differently, but the call is to spend time with the Lord. That'll help us become wholehearted as we seek Him. And we actually start realizing that He loves us and He wants to talk to us individually too. Okay, the next word. And I think a lot of these words are not easy words. Wholehearted's not necessarily easy. This word is another one where we think, flip, is this something I want to do? So the next word is serve. And I think, if there are a lot of clubs out there that you can join, a rugby club maybe, chess clubs, all other clubs, a lot of them are there to fulfill a need in us, just to make us happy, to kind of make us feel comfortable and that we're doing something that we love, maybe a riding club, whatever it could be. But church is different. Church is not a club about making you feel good. It's a place where we're called to serve. And I think that's an important part. It's not all that church is. Obviously, church is there to feed you as well, but a big part of it is serving one another as well. So if we read in John 13, verse 14 and 15, this follows on from Jesus washing his disciples' feet. I think you guys all remember that. And it was pretty soon, or it wasn't long after that, that he was crucified. And this is kind of one of his real act before he died, to show his disciples how he wanted them to live. So he kind of undressed, put on the, had just the bare essentials on, or just a cloth around his waist, and he went and he washed their dirty feet. And he said, I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so you should also wash one another's feet. I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So serving is an expectation that Jesus has for us. It's an expectation to follow his example. And it's going to look different to all of us as well. We've all got different ways God wants us to serve him. But the call is to serve him and find how it is. What is it that God wants us to do? So if Jesus is our example, and I say if we're following him, he is our example, then serving is for each of us. It's not something that we can sidestep. God wants us to serve him in whatever way. So practically speaking, this means that all of us should be finding ways to serve one another at home. It's not just about church. It's about serving your wife at home, your family at home. It's about serving in church, yes, and finding ways to serve in our community too. So serve's a big word. And I think in terms of church, we really felt last year that the way to start assisting that process was to develop these serving teams. And I think you guys are all quite familiar with the different colors, and each of you, or most of you, are already on one of those teams. And I think it's worked well in terms of bringing us together. It's worked well in terms of just, for us leadership, what we found is during the initial transition, it was absolutely crazy. We were trying to figure out the way forward, and then we'd have to come and check the chairs we sorted out, make wash afterwards. It was locking up. It was impossible, actually. And the way for doing church is together. And essentially serving teams just provides an opportunity for everyone to help in the running of this church, the practical running of this church. So if any of you are not involved, we really would encourage you to say, yeah, I'm happy to be part. And I think it's been a great opportunity to get to know one another, actually. I mean, they're people that I have seen in this church for a long time, but I actually never knew them until I started interacting with them as part of the serving team. So I think it's a good way to get to know people, especially if you're new. And I think also, just in terms of that serving team, it includes the Sunday school teachers, it includes the worship team members, teen church people as well. So we've structured essentially the whole lot of different servings around these teams. And yeah, if there's a way that you're wanting to serve, won't you just let us know as leadership? We'd love to see everyone involved there. Also, just to say that we really would like you guys to commit to being here on those dates. We found that if we can't, what we need to do as leadership, I guess, is to be able to trust that a red team is going to show up on your Sunday, and that it's going to happen. It's not helpful for us to be unsure, like, are there only going to be one or two people? Are things going to be organized? Because it places extra stress on us as well. That's not necessary. So we really would ask all of you guys, be committed to your serving teams. And can I ask as well that the dates are set for the whole year? Please, won't you have a look at those dates and try and plan around them. Even your holidays, try as far as possible to plan your holidays around those dates. We know it's not always going to be possible, but for most of us, it should be possible to plan when we're here. Okay, so can I really ask you guys to commit to that, please, in the year ahead? And I think one thing that we have noticed is that as things have become more and more efficient and people have figured out how to do these serving teams, things get done pretty quickly. So if everyone arrives at 8, by like 20 past 8, maybe half past 8, everything's sorted. If only two or three people arrive early, I think that happened today, then it takes a lot longer and there's a lot more strain on the few people that are here. So let's all be here together. And I think also once things get done, guys, there's an opportunity to pray. Really, prayer is so important for our church. And we don't have formal prayer meetings and things during the week. We haven't felt led to do that. But if you're here and you're part of the serving team, come and pray for our church. Pray for the service. Pray for individuals in the group. So don't see it as they're going to do it so quickly, they don't need me today. We need you to be here, even if it's just for prayer. Okay. Thanks, Pam. Okay, last word for today is the word connect. And Really, just the idea that being connected is critical in the church. Because we're all part of the body of Christ. And I think the picture of the body is just such an amazing one for the church. It's great that Jesus said, you know, this is what it's like. The church is like a body. So Jesus is the head, and essentially the rest of us that are sitting here are the body. In this case, it's the small body of Crossways Church, but we each part of that body. And if we're not connected, you can imagine how well Jesus as the head can direct us. Probably not very well. We're going to be going in our own directions, running around, doing our own thing. And God wants us to be connected to one another and connected to Him. So connection is really important in terms of how we do church. So I'm going to go to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 as a quick reference. There Paul says, let us consider how we can stir up one another in love. Let us help one another to do good works. Let us not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing this. Instead, let us cheer each other up with words of hope. Let us do this all the more as you see the day coming when Christ will return. So I think connecting is also not just important for us to kind of know each other. It's also critical for growth. You can see there's, if you read that passage again, there's letting us cheer one another up, helping one another. So there's a very practical point in connection as well. And, you know, the way we're doing church and we're feeling to do church as each one means that as leaders, if something goes wrong, we can't come running to every person that's having a challenge. We actually need each of you to take responsibility for others in this church too. So, you know, and I think home groups or connect groups are a critical part of that. They're there as a kind of a small family within a broader family to take care and help. Obviously, as leadership, if there are challenges, we're very happy to help. But we can't practically run around and help everyone. That's what we're there together, to serve and love one another. So connection really is important. So to foster that, really the way we're feeling to do that is this idea of connect groups. It's nothing new in church. You've heard of home groups for years. Connect groups are essentially the same. And I think really what we're saying is that somehow we want each person to be connected to others in this body. We don't want you to be islands that are there trying to do this thing of following Jesus by yourself. It's not the way it's meant to be. And you would have seen on the announcements there are a number of connect groups that have started. Harvey and Renee are leading two groups, essentially. He's leading a group. Jono and Tim are leading the men's group. There's Pete with the seniors group. And there's Nikki and John and their whole group as well for young families. So there are a number of connect groups already in this church. But I think we're really going to be trusting God that He grows those as well. And just one thing I'd really ask is that those connect groups that have been well established, and there are some that have been well established for a long time, I'm thinking of like the seniors group, for example, and the young families group, let's be open to expanding that, or maybe trusting God to multiply that, because I think as new families come, what we want to do is to make sure we can accommodate. So I think we need to be open to that as well. So let's see connection as for ourselves, but also for bringing others into this community as well. And I think just in terms of what these connect groups are about, I think they're about deepening friendships. They're about having someone that you can really be accountable to and to share your heart with. They're about caring and meeting the needs. I've said that we can't as leadership, where there's no way that we can handle everyone. So these connect groups are a place to care. I mean, even the teen church, I know the teens will share their hearts with the teen church leader. So that's a place for them. We're trusting in time that God's going to help develop a youth group as well where that can become a connect group for our kids. But really, we need to have that. So if you're not connected in that way, please find an opportunity. We're really asking everyone to find a way of trying to be connected in some way. And for the men here, I know a lot of you guys are coming to the men's connect group. If you're not connected in any other way, please come join us. We've had a great, I think, 6 or 7 weeks together, and it's not too late to join in and be part of that. So we really would encourage you, if you're not part of anything, if you feel on the outside, come and join us. That really would be wonderful. Okay, so that's essentially it from me today. It's four words. Each one, you guys are all critical to this church. If we're going to be achieving something for the Lord together in this community, we need to do it together. Okay, we need to support one another. We need to commit to the church together. Serving is what Jesus did. It's the example that he's placed. And please, we need all of us to serve in this church together. There's a calling to be wholehearted. And that's an individual thing. It's an individual thing. So seek the Lord. Ask him to build wholehearted in you. And let's make sure we remain connected as we do church together this year. Okay. So that's it from my side. I think, Tim, if you're happy to wrap things up. Thank you.
And Doug? Just a reminder with those connect groups for the men, we'll see you all on Wednesday morning, bright and early, 6 o'clock, with a gourmet meal ready. But it'll just really be great to start off where we ended last year, so please, I will send out a reminder. And also, John, I was very concerned that he forgot Dwayne Vermeulen was the guy that broke his rib and carried on playing. But thank you, Doug, for those special words and for sort of planning ahead. So I'll just leave you with the commandment. I mean, we sort of started and it's in line with the promised land. But it's a commandment. It says, and it's always nice to replace someone's name with your own. So it's God commanded Joshua, so it could be James or Tony or Apple or Michelle or Renee or Phil. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Such a useful tool for the devil is discouragement. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So just remember that as we leave today. All right, thank you. Enjoy tea and peas. We're not going to be stacking the chairs. If anyone needs prayer, please come up and be prayed for. All right, thank you. Bye.